What is going on, and welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, Brian, and this is going to be a good episode today. I'm talking all things mindset. So I guess before I start, I want to preface this with, I want this podcast to be kind of like me giving advice to my former younger self. I wish I knew this stuff earlier. I wish I took thoughts and my thought life and my mindset more seriously when I was younger. Because when I think back to baseball, my college baseball days, I was athletic. I could play ball from a physical standpoint. But what I think lacked big time was the mindset, like the mental game. And if anybody listening has played, you know how important that is in success at higher and higher levels. So this podcast, I want to start a series, and we'll look at a book called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. Okay, so he's been around for quite some time. I hear he's got amazing resources out there. He's got multiple books, obviously, but this book has made such a big impact on my life. I've taken my BeFit clients through this book, actually, and broken every single concept down and how it applies to life, how it applies to our fitness, our physiques, our mental health, our spiritual health. We broke it down to food and nutrition. I mean, there's literally a chapter in this book where it talks about the connection with your body to your mind, right? So like your health, your physical health, and how it affects, or is affected by, I should say, your thoughts, which is pretty freaking cool. So first and foremost, I think before I start, it's number one, understanding our thoughts are important. And everyone kind of knows this, but again, if we don't internalize something, if it doesn't go from our head to our heart and we understand it and we internalize it, it's just information. And I think the last thing we all need in this world is more information. I think we need more intentionality. We need more authenticity, and we need more internalizing of our thoughts and ideas and concepts that matter. So my goal for this episode is to talk over the importance of thoughts and our mindset, and then to internalize it and then apply it. So nothing works unless you apply it, of course, which everybody knows that as well, but it's so, so true. And before I open this this book up, I want to share a verse that has really, I've always loved this verse, but a verse that's really stuck to me, and that's Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. So to me, that verse is everything, because it's all about the heart and where you are when you start something. So Solomon's saying here is, hey, when you're making your plans, when you're planning out your life and you're developing a game plan, you're starting a business, you are developing a product, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, take into account God. Just think about Him. Whatever you do, taking out the trash. That sounds super crazy, right? But from the biggest decisions of your life to the smallest, most mundane and unimportant ones, I think if we were all to commit to the Lord, whatever we do, whatever we were planning to do, we would understand He would establish our plans. And that goes back to, hey, you can have a great plan for your life and you can plan all these amazing things and we want the best of the best and all these experiences and memories and all these things are great, but God's plan's better. And how many of you know your plans, our plans, my plans for our lives? Usually life happens and our plans don't turn out as planned. But God's got a funny way of using the plans that fell through in our lives and making them good, using those things for good. And with that, I want to share another verse that applies to this book, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when you understand what you think influences what you become, you can learn to adjust your thought lives accordingly, right? You can learn to adjust your thought life accordingly. Put very simply, If you want to have an average life, then just have average thoughts. If you want to have a really bad life, just have really bad, negative, defeating, and self-sabotaging thoughts. That's super easy. It's very simple when you think about it like that. So anybody who's had massive success or is positive or who looks like he or she's got it all together, I guarantee you they take their thought life and their self-talk and what they think about on a daily basis very seriously. They're not just flying by the seat of their pants. Is that the expression? They're not just waking up and winging it. And they don't let life happen to them. They choose to let life happen for them. So here's a cool question. When you see a tree, what do you think of? Do you see the color of the leaves? Do you see the complexity of the leaves and the branches, the beauty of the fruit, right? Like a mango tree. Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started. Mangoes, apples. It's all great. The root maybe. Do you notice the roots, the trunk? So what this guy gets out in this book is the seed. So when you think of, when you see a tree, nobody really thinks about a seed, right? You do now, and I do now because we're talking about it. But when I look out and I see a palm tree, I think of coconuts. I think of kaigo. I love palm trees, but I never think of a seed. But the thing is, without the seed, there would be no tree, right? That tree would not have been there if it didn't come from a seed. As the plant springs from and could not be without a seed, so every act of a man or woman springs from the hidden seeds of thought and could not have appeared without them. As the plant springs from and could not be without the seed. So that just goes back to, look, your life as a whole is the tree. And the quality of that tree, the quality of your life can absolutely be directly tied to the quality of your seeds. And the seeds are your thoughts. So again, I want to stress the importance of mindset and our thoughts, how important it is to take every thought captive. Make sure we are in the mindset of life is happening for me. How can I get better? Yeah, this sucks. Like, I don't want to go through this trial. I don't want to go through this time period where my plans are falling apart, but how can I get better? So keeping the mindset and the importance of our mindsets in mind is everything. A man or woman is literally what they think. Your character is the sum total of all your thoughts. That's pretty wild. Your character is the sum total of all your thoughts. You've probably heard the phrase, your life is, you know, you're the sum total of all your decisions up till this point, right? But what this chapter dives into, this idea is, no, your life is the sum total of every single thought you've had, good or bad. So I hope I'm making my case for the importance of having great thoughts, having elite thoughts, having empowering, righteous, pure thoughts. You know, I haven't always, like me personally, again, I haven't taken this seriously enough. And I've let small little things in my mindset, in my thought life, really take root, no pun intended, but really take root. And then I wonder why the tree and the fruit bears what it, you know, why it looks the way it does, why the tree is bearing the fruit that it does. And it all goes back to the seed. It all goes back to our thoughts. Quoting from the book, he goes, "An act is the blossom of thought. Joy and suffering are its fruits." So there's two types of suffering. Let's talk about those. Number one is involuntary suffering, right? This is inevitable. It's natural suffering. Depending on who you are, where you live, you know, what family you were born into, you're going to have more suffering or less suffering than others. But suffering does exist in every walk of life. I don't care who or where you live, you know, who you are, where you live, there's suffering. Involuntary suffering is inevitable on some level. And I think a good thing to point out here is perspective. In college, I was at my first college, Coastal Carolina. I was playing baseball over there in Myrtle Beach, the dirty Myrtle. And we had a coach who, he wanted us to develop it was like a why board. It was like a purpose board. No, sorry. It was called a, compared to what? That's what his main thing was, like, compared to what? So whenever you're going through tough times, understand there's somebody out there with much more on their plate. There's somebody out there who is going through stuff you can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. So compared to what? When I think of, oh man, this workout's tough, or, you know, that practice, this road trip, whatever is tough, you have to have perspective. You have to understand, man, there's kids somewhere without food in their stomachs tonight. There's people who can't get out of bed in their own power. So it's incredibly motivating and inspiring to understand there's people out there who wish they could be in your shoes. The second type of suffering is voluntary. So voluntary, this is the suffering we want to avoid at all costs. This is the victim mentality. This is the self-pity mentality. This is looking for problems habitually. This is constantly looking for problems. How many of us know that one person? And I have somebody that comes to mind. I'm not going to say who it is. I'll let you guys guess. But it's, I don't care what it is. It can be the best case scenario, and they're going to find something wrong with it, right? They're going to find something that they can complain. They didn't get exactly the right deal they wanted. There's too much traffic. Their days were too long. Whatever it is, they're going to always focus on the negative. And is it a surprise that they have a lot of negativity in their lives, right? Because they're always looking and focusing on the negative. So this is voluntary suffering, in my opinion. This is voluntary suffering. This is embracing the suffering. Like, it's some sort of, I don't know. I mean, it becomes a habit at some point. If you have enough voluntary suffering type of thoughts, you find yourself in a habit of suffering. You find yourself looking and feeling like you're suffering. So are there benefits of suffering? Of course. I look at a verse, James 1:2-4. Paul says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature, you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Boom. Much easier said than done, I will say that. But what Paul's getting at is, when you go through suffering, it's almost like a diamond, right? It goes through the fire, or gold. Let's say gold. For gold to be gold and to be worth anything, it's got to go through the fire. It's got to go through trials, tribulations, right? It's got to go through a refining process. So as a Christian, I try to view trials, whether massive or small, as an opportunity to get better and to produce perseverance, right? I want to know what it takes, and the discipline and the perseverance it takes to get through trials, all the while trusting God that he's going to use every single thing I go through for good. He's going to use every single thing I go through for good. It's going to be better than expected. It's going to be better than my plans for my life. Joseph in the Old Testament, he said, "What you guys meant for evil, God meant for good." Whatever's happening, if it's voluntary, if it's involuntary suffering and somebody did you wrong or your plans just fell through, God's going to use it for good. And if someone's maliciously tearing you down, or you have someone in your life who is intentionally trying to mess you up, mess your plans up, hurting you, God will use it for good. Does that let that person off the hook for, you know, doing bad to you? No, of course not. But you have to trust, you have to know that God is, he will use everything for good. So super important to keep in mind. There is benefits of suffering. And the last thing I'll say about suffering, or the idea of, you know, plans falling through or something being difficult, growth never happens in our comfort zones. And I think I've been walking in this, and I think it's a different story for another episode, but I think when I look back on my life, I've been challenged with, hey, I think I accept the status quo too much. And when you accept the status quo, you can't grow. You can't extend yourself, right? You can't stretch yourself and challenge yourself and get better and grow. So I want you to know that whenever you do go through suffering, whenever you're having that inevitable, that part of life that's inevitable, and your plans fall through and you're hurting, you're going through stuff, it will grow you. It will make you more of the person you're meant to be. You know, you'll one day look back and know, oh, well, I couldn't see it then. I didn't know how that was going to be used for good. But now I have this, you know, fill in the blank. I think of, and it's a very easy example. It's not deep, but it's like, yeah, going through the baseball career, going through one of the worst years of my life when I just, you know, kind of came to grips with not playing baseball anymore. I understood that, and only afterwards, I understood that it was for my good. I have a story now. I understand like what it feels like to have an identity crisis at a young age, not like a midlife crisis, but when you're 22 years old and you don't even know who you are because your whole life you worked to be something and you didn't make it, or you worked to be something and someone and that person ceased to exist. That's challenging. For me, I'm as much as I want to say I'm committed to growth, in a lot of areas of my life, I've been challenged on this in marriage, in business. I'm going to be honest. I like the status quo. I like how things are. I think that's human nature. But to extend yourself and to stretch yourselves and to grow yourself, that's where true purpose and fulfillment comes from, not in our comfort zones. All right. And as we wrap up this chapter, this episode too, is I'm going to steal this idea from my father-in-law. He talks a lot about operating out of two ways to operate in life. One is above the line and the other is below the line. And so above the line is intentional. It's elite. It's disciplined, right? It's harder. It's much harder to operate above the line. Below the line, on the other hand, is easy. It's reactive. It's reckless. I mean, it's not something you want to be doing. And it's not like we're all one or all the other. We're a percentage of both. But if we can live above the line more often than not, we can find ourselves, to tie this all together, with better seeds, better roots, better branches, and better fruit. The trees in our lives will be much healthier if we live above the line with our thoughts. So I'll end with this verse right here. It's Philippians 4:8. Paul goes, finally, I quote a lot from Paul this episode. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Paul got it, man. He knew, man, whatever we think about, if we're thinking negativity, the world's ending, we turn the TV on, I don't care if you're watching Fox, CNN, or whatever you watch. I stopped watching that during COVID. I literally just stopped watching the news, and my life has never been better. Just throwing that out there. If you watch the news 24/7, you will absolutely perceive the world as it's ending. It's all dangerous. It's all evil, dangerous. It's all craziness out there, right? But then you stop watching it and you realize, oh, like things are obviously bad. Like there's some things going on that we don't like, and there's always bad things happening. There's bad things happening to good people. There's good things happening to bad people. There's disease, there's sickness, there's loss, which again, gives me even more confirmation in, hey, you have to have an anchor in your life. For me, that's Jesus. For me, that is Jesus and a relationship with him, not religion, not going through the motions, but a relationship with Jesus. He says, you will have trials, you will have troubles in this world, but take heart because I've overcome the world. He's overcome the world. He's already won. So man, I'm living with a smile on my face as much as I can, waking up saying, thank you, God, for breath. Thank you, God, for my body, my wife, my future kids, you know, the ability to make money, the ability to impact people, to create. I wake up with that mindset because I know, man, I have an anchor, and my anchor is Jesus, and he won. He already won. Christianity is the only religion, to my knowledge, that says, man, you don't got to work. You don't got to do more, be better, try harder to reach nirvana or reach heaven or be accepted by God. Man, Christianity is the only one that says, Jesus did it. He already did it. So whenever we look and we want to try harder and do this and do that, man, I think it's important to understand we can't do anything more to be loved more by God. We can't do anything more to receive grace and receive love than just accepting that from him. So that's important. And that was a spiritual tangent. I think you'll get more of that on here for sure. If you guys follow me on Instagram, like most of you guys do who listen to this, I'm trying to go live every week or so and talk salt and light, you know, talk spiritual fitness because I'm so passionate about sharing that stuff. So I'm excited to share more with you all on that. So to end this episode, I want to ask you and myself a question I think we should always ask daily, weekly. Do you control your thoughts or are your thoughts controlling you? So I want to say, man, you're not in control of every little thought that pops in your head. You know, if you've ever done yoga, that's one of the things they'll always say, like, hey, or meditation, sorry. You know, if you're meditating, I don't know why I said it like that. If you're meditating, they say, you know, don't get aggravated when a negative thought or something you didn't expect just pops up there. Because that's being human. That's what that's called. But you are in control of whether you accept that thought and internalize that thought and let that seed grow. You're in control of that. So you're responsible for agreeing with that thought or discarding that thought. So make your thoughts serve you versus serving your thoughts, you know? Make your thoughts work for you as opposed to being controlled by your thoughts. So to sum it all up, guys, that is the first chapter of As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And so, man, he dives super deep into the thoughts and how it, you know, affects our lives, the thoughts, how they're connected to our bodies, our physical health. Fitness-wise, for sure. It talks about high achievement in our thoughts, a lot of stuff. So I'm excited to share and jump on and just give you my thoughts on going through this book as I've gone through, like I said, with my BFIT clients, my BFIT fam. And it's been insane, the value that you can pull from this. So that wraps up episode one of this series, As a Man Thinketh. If you have certain topics or something you want to hear from me on, like, please let me know. If you love this episode, DM me, message me. I'd love to hear from you guys what you guys want to hear more of. So I'm excited. I have some people I'm getting lined up to be on this podcast that we can learn from and that are going to be super impactful. So I'm looking forward to that. But until then, have an awesome day. Be great. Be healthy. Be intentional and be fit.